Thank you, Jim, and I want to thank the young people as they go out and the ministering of both services, and they're to be commended for that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We have three boys that are growing up now, and when the music began its change, when Sandra and I came to Christ, we went into Little Bethany Baptist Church in the corner in 68, I think it was. We sang all hymns and a few choruses, and of course, when God began to, by hundreds and thousands of songs, move upon new artists. There's so much singing and praise going on today, and it's good to learn these new songs, and some will stand the test of time, others won't, but it's good to grow. It's good to grow, because in glory, we want to make sure that we're there, and you know, in heaven, you're going to be singing forever and ever and ever, and although you'll be made into the likeness of Jesus Christ when you die, you will be growing in God, because you will not know all of God when you get to heaven. You'll be like Jesus, and you will not have sin, as it were. But in all of eternity, it says, the holy shall become holier. And so it's going to be an amazing journey. And part of it is going to be praising our God forever and ever and ever. What a joy that'll be. You've been in an auditorium where there's hundreds and thousands of people singing and singing Amazing Grace, those great songs. My, they just thrill a soul. So when the music came in, I tried to talk to my boys about it, you know, and they began to pray that I could really see the light. And I began to see the light a bit, so it's good to sing those songs. It's good to be with you here for the second week at the First Baptist Church here in Armstrong. And you have a sweet spirit in the church, so keep it, grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, as life has you grow, and God will bring to you a tremendous pastor. He'll be tremendous because he is a tremendous God who's behind him, and he'll be a man sent from God whose name, whatever be his first name, but he'll be coming to you. So praise the Lord for that, and good to recognize those little babies, the way you did that little baby being born this morning. Years ago, we used to have, in the one church I was at, we had so many babies being born all the time, and they had three sections. The church is a little bit bigger than this, but I would, as I talk here, of course, I walk around a little bit, and I walked over this side, and I was preaching. This young couple was there, and she had a little baby, and she's listening to my sermon. I can see her eyes, and then all of a sudden, she flips open her blouse and glues the baby onto it. I was about 25 or 30, so I said, okay, and I didn't say anything. I kind of walked over here. I was preaching, and I came over to this section, and I was preaching here, and sure enough, another lady, she opens up, poof, poof, sheesh. What's going on here, you know? So I came to the center, and I stand there for the whole sermon. And my wife, my beautiful wife, said, what's the matter? I said, honey, that girl unveiled herself, and then this girl, and Sandra says, I've got a solution. So every baby born, Sandra would get a nice blanket. And before, when I heard the little baby was born, I'd write a nice handwritten note. And I'd send the note right to the baby. Like, say the baby's name was Jennifer. I put, Dear Jennifer, I want to welcome you to the world. I'm so glad you come. And you're kind of the newest member of our church. And I know Mom and Dad love you, and they're going to use the Bible to raise you. They're going to bring you to church. And I said, Jennifer, when you come, I want you to make sure you bring this beautiful blanket with you. And you can use it if you want some home cooking. Make sure you use the blanket. So anyhow, and all of a sudden Marion said, I'll make all those blankets. So we made these beautiful blankets, and we'd send these letters out, and it helped. So I could go on every section then and preach again, but so much for that. I want to talk to you this morning on God giving you rewards. And that's what God, He loves you so much. Not only did He die for you and rise from the grave and saved you and He guides you through life, but He is one who loves you so much, and He can't help it, but He just wants to give you some rewards when you die. And He wants you to do a good job in life with all the good deeds, and He wants to recognize you when you get into His presence, however old you are. I had this, our best friend, Diane, went to be with Jesus just a few weeks ago, and it was the hardest funeral I think I did, but I went up 3 weeks ago to Cornell, and we did the service for that. And this lady was just an icon in Christianity. She had this kids' club on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. not part of the church, but it was called the Good News Gang. And they would minister these kids. They were a bunch of rapscallions, but they'd bring them to church on Sunday. And Diane ministered deeply. And I could see Jesus saying, "Diane, you did a great job. You did a good job." The Apostle Paul was dying. He knew he was dying. And he said, "The time of my departure is at hand," in 2 Timothy 4 and 6. And he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." And he said, "I fought a good fight. I finished the race. And I've kept the faith. And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the everlasting God, will give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all who love his appearing." I challenge you, if you're over 50 years of age, that you hang in there and you fight the good fight still. You finish the race and you keep the faith. Because a lot don't keep the faith. They slip away. They slip away. I meet people in every community. I meet them. They say, "Yeah, I used to go to church. Yeah, I believe in the Lord." But they slip away. Don't slip away. Hang in there. Because the greatest life ahead of you is the best life is ahead of you in glory forever and ever. And God wants to recognize you. Okay, he wants to give you some awards. We'll look at the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 to 10. And we're going to look at verse 10 as our text. But this is an amazing passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 10. And why don't we stand together to read the Word of God? This is the Word of the Lord. "We know that if the tent, that is our body, that we earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we were still in this tent, we groaned, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we'd be further clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up of life. He who is prepared for us is this very same thing as God, who gave us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, a guarantee of our heavenly home. We're always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, walk by faith, not by sight. But we're of good courage. We'd rather be away from the body, be home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For while we must appear before the judge, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is done, what is due for what he has done in the body, whether it be good or evil." Father, we look at verse 10 this morning, some other scriptures. "You who wrote them, Lord, all scripture has been breathed out by you. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for correction, to correct us, and to get us back on the right track, and to instruct us in all good things, Lord, so that we may be complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work. May the Word of God do its duty this morning, Lord. If you come by the Holy Spirit and just apply it to every heart here, Lord, that's listening. Give them each a lesson of some type they can take home with them, Lord, so they could grow a bit more in Jesus Christ and willingly and wantingly prepare themselves for that glorious day when you will call them. And I pray your glory will get to you as this service continues on into the communion part. In Jesus' name, amen." Thank you. Be reseated. Okay, I want you to hang on three words for the sermon. The first one is appearance, the second one is appraisal, and the third one is award. Okay, appear, look at the text. It says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us are going to appear. That's every Christian. And notice that this takes place in heaven. So this appearance isn't going to determine our destiny. Our destiny is determined by God who saved us. And Paul is addressing the Christians here. And we're going to get a building of God, a body that's going to last forever and ever and ever. It's going to be a body that you'll eventually recognize each person with. But it's going to be a body that stands before God in glory. It won't be the, say, you know, I won't use any names, but I met so many people here this morning. But say, sir, if you pass away and I meet you in glory, you're not going to be looking the way you look right now. You're going to look much different. You're going to have the very height of beauty that Jesus Christ had when he came out of the tomb. Now remember, Jesus was 33 years of age. And he died. But when Jesus died, he had worked like 24 hours a day. And as a human, Christ was just, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In John 8, the Pharisees looked at him and said, he said, by the way, he says, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, you're a carpenter's son. You're not even 50 years of age. At age 33, Jesus looked like he was 50. That was his face. And his disciples got to see him as an aged person, as it were. When he died on the cross, Jesus didn't look young. But when he came out of the grave, they didn't recognize him. He said, here's my hands. See, here's my hands. And they heard his voice. But they didn't recognize him. You and I are going to come out of the graves. When we die, our spirit goes to be with God. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, they who sleep in Christ, he'll bring with them. And then our spirit will be joined to our body where it's at. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with the Lord in the air to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But we're going to have eternal bodies. So that eternal body is going to stand in that great, awesome, august assembly. And we're going to appear before Jesus. That appearance, it's going to be a joyful assembly. It's going to be like a graduation service. Everybody's going to graduate. But some are going to receive other rewards greater than others. And we're going to rejoice in those awards. You get more awards than me, I'm going to be praising the Lord for you. Pastors are going to be just shouting for joy at their people who were faithful in ushering, faithful in teaching, faithful in singing, faithful in coming to church. And there's a reward for them. We're going to rejoice in these awards. So it's 1 John 4:17 says, there's no fear in this judgment. Because it's not a judgment for sin. All your sins are gone. Your sins and iniquities are remembered no more. It's impossible for God to remember the sin that you committed yesterday. And so at that judgment day, it'll be for the good things. It's an appearance at the Bema. Now, the bima, the word for seat in Greek is bima. It means a platform. And the Corinthians were well aware what the bima meant, because the bima meant to them they would have these great Olympic games. And the judges would be on the platform. And the runners would come, and those who perform sports, the winners, and they put a crown of a wreath around their heads and presented them an award for doing good. So we must appear before the judgment bema of Christ. And he's going to recognize, but he ain't going to be putting around us a piece of grass and flowers. 1 Corinthians 9:25, it's going to be an imperishable crown. They do it. They run in the Olympics for a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. So at that day, there's an appearance. We come to God, before God, and it's at the bema. But it's before Jesus, the loving judge. And I don't want to be judged by you. I would not want to be judged by any of you people. You know that? Because you don't have everything to judge me on. But Jesus has everything to judge me on. He knows where I came from, where I've been, what I've done. He knows everything. So he's going to have a report card that day. And he's going to open the report card. So I appear before him for the appraisal. And the appraisal is going to be a perfect appraisal of what we did in our bodies here on earth. The appraisal is going to be marvelous. It's going to be, number one, of our good deeds, number two, of our stewardship, and number three, of our motives. The full appraisal will take place of the good deeds that we have done. In Ephesians 6 and verse 8, it says, you need to know this, that every good thing which any man does, the same will he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So whatever you do, God is going to recognize as good. So always go about doing good. And don't just think you have to do good to the Christians. You do. But in Galatians 6 and 9 it says, do good unto all people, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. But do good to all people. Love all people. And the big GIC through all this, the Guaranteed Investment Certificate, is do everything in love. Love, love, love. Do you know what Armstrong wants to know? Armstrong really wants to know whether you guys love each other. So Jesus said, hey, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men, all people in Armstrong will know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. So you have a chance to be a loving church. And so they will say, you know, go to that First Baptist Church Armstrong because they love a fella around there. They love a fella around there. And you know that's not true in a lot of churches. So be a loving church. A loving church. Love's a guaranteed investment certificate for the appraisal that day. And if Jesus sees love operating here, whether it be silent, whether it be secretive, whether it be given, whatever it is, he's going to reward you for what you have done. So good deeds. And we're called upon to be good. You see, we're not saved by being good. I could never get to heaven if I was the best person in this world. By grace I'm saved through faith, not of myself. But Ephesians 2:10 says, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Titus 3:8 says, be very careful to do good works. Get up in the morning and say, God, how can you use me today? How can you use me? And wherever you go, keep your eyes peeled. And God will give you opportunity to be used in some way for him. And the little things add up in life. What if you do something little every day? That's 365 days a year. So he's going to judge you for your good deeds and your stewardship of your time and your talents and your treasure. Now the biggest one, of course, is your time. Will you give to God your time? I believe the greatest rendering of your time is to start with the time with God every day. In the morning, Jesus, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, our example, went out to a solitary place, and there Jesus prayed by himself. And I'm a morning person, so I want my mornings for God. Even if I'm at conventions, I want my mornings for God. I go to the conventions, you meet pastors, and of course we chat till all hours at night, you know. And so you get up the next morning and you're kind of, but I still want my time with God. And I'll go into a restaurant at the convention and I'll sit on this side by a table. I'll get a table for just two, me and Jesus. And I'll get a cup of coffee for Jesus. So my friends come over and say, Randy, can I sit with you? Oh, no, I'm busy here. I'm busy here with somebody. I want a time for Jesus every day, every day. It's more important than anything else. The guy I stayed with last night, way down south of Vernon, wherever that there, had a long journey up here this morning. I said, I'm staying with you, but I must tell you, I got a weird schedule. I can't talk to you in the morning, okay? I know I haven't seen you for years, but I can't talk to you anymore. So let's stay up tonight, because tomorrow morning, I want the time to myself. Time for Jesus every day. And do some work in the church. Every one of you can do something in this church. Do it. So there's time and there's talents. And you're a very talented person. Everybody here has got talents. Use them for Jesus, whatever they are. And then treasure. That's the acid test of discipleship, isn't it? The dollar. The famous dollar. And what people in this world live for. They live for money. Jesus said about the rich man in Luke 12 who's tore down barns, building bigger houses. He said a man's life in 12:15, Luke, a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. And God knows that. So what God wants now so he can commend you on then is an open hand of your money. And you have no problem giving that which cost you so much in labor to give. You have no problem giving it to God. Now, that's pretty tough, I think, for maybe some Scotch people, some Dutch people that are... I love the Scotch and the Dutch, but I know how tight they are, you know. You know, we had this one deacon. We go out for coffee all the time and a hamburger, and he'd say, oh, I didn't bring anything with me. Oh, guy had more money than anything. I didn't bring anything with me, you know. So we ended up buying him coffee and burgers and McDonald's, whatever. But I wouldn't want have a record of always being the cheap. Be too frugal, it kind of smacks almost on covetousness, doesn't it? You start coveting that. So Jesus wants you with money to be able to give. And it says in Luke, give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will men give into your bosom. God's not going to take your money. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all things will be added to you. And when you need to give secretively. We got rid of plates in both churches I was at, and we got these bags. And the bags actually bring in more money than the plates. They prove that. Because, you know, get a plate, people are a little bit embarrassed putting in. But in the bag, they put it in. But when you put it in, you don't want other people to know about it. So one day, this guy was in our church and passing the bag, and the ushers told the deacons, they said, that guy puts both hands into the bag. And the bags are about that big, you know. And I said, he puts both hands in the bag. He said, he keeps his hands in the bags for a minute. I said, okay. So they told the deacons, and the deacons said, you know, Pastor, we watched him. What do we do? I said, well, I know the guy. He's an honest kind of a guy, and I'm going to go over and have a visit with him. So I went over, and I sat down with him. I said, hi, Henry. How you doing? Fine. I said, Henry, just cut to the chase. I said, is it true that you put both hands in the bag, and some people think you may be taking something out, you know? Oh, no. I'd never take anything out. I says, what in the world? You got both hands in the bag? He says, when I put my gift in, I don't want my left hand to know what my right hand's doing, so I just shove it in and play around with it. He says, I don't know if I give my right or left. I says, oh, goodness. You know, it says that in Scripture in Matthew 6, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's given. He didn't understand that, but he didn't want to be literal. But he was good. But hey, you can live more prosperously on 90% than 100. Always give. And don't give me that stuff that tithing is the Old Testament. Check out Matthew 23:23. Give your tithing, Jesus says, but don't forget to be loving and kind at the same time. Matthew 23:23. So tithing, yeah, I don't know if that cuts it, but sacrificial giving does. Like this Samaritan's purse. Some of you may not have a box to do, and you're not that artsy type. Well, take out $25, $50 and give it to whatever her name is, Ellen, and or Helen, and get her to do a box for you. But don't let that opportunity go by your ears. Didn't you sense the compassion of her heart? Jesus likes that. He likes a cheerful giver. Doesn't like a sad giver or a mad giver. I have to give. He likes a glad giver. Just give. I didn't even preach about that in the first service, so I got to get back to my notes here. He's going to judge you for your time and your talents. We had an old lady that gave just a few dollars to a building program. A dear lady, Nora, sweet she was, so poor, she made her money by going around getting tins in the streets. Very poor person, other than welfare. The big building program came with a roll of dimes. How precious that was. Widow's mite, Jesus said, this woman has thrown in more than all of you. So, if you're poor, you give. If you're rich, you give. But not only tithes, but give offerings. Give offerings. And another offering comes up in church, just take out some money and give it. Give it, give it, give it. And it'll be well worth it in the end. Jesus said in verse 10, he says, you have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ so everyone will receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. So there's the good and the bad. And the bad is when you're able to do something, maybe like giving, and you say, I ain't giving. But you know you got something to give. I ain't going to give. I give to people on the street. And most Christians I meet, they think it's wrong because you're getting conned. But it's not my responsibility to know whether you're conning me or not. It's my responsibility to give to you. So usually take them out for a meal or something like that or give it to them. I gave one guy $5 in downtown Vancouver. I said, what do you want it for? He says, I want a muffin, egg McMuffin. I said, okay, $5 will do it. He went in and got it, came out, sat down. And what they really want is some fellowship. I says, can I eat with you? And he just opened up. I can eat with you. So I went and got myself an egg McMuffin too and talked to him. And I says, friend, tell him a bit about Jesus. I said, I got to go. God bless you. I said, hey, hope you can use it. He says, I didn't want the $5. He says, here's the $1.30 back. He says, I just wanted a sandwich. I could have walked by that guy. But don't be the priest. Don't be the one that goes by the person on the street that's laying there. Stop for a second. What's $5 going to cost you? And so you might get conned, but Jesus is recognizing whether you're giving or not. Anyhow, let's just plug there. And my wife and I don't agree with that one. She disagrees with me totally on that one. So, the good and the bad. I did the bad, and I'll close with this kind of illustration, I think. It was Bible study time at the church, ladies, and I picked up my wife from the Bible study, Sandy, and we're going home, and Sandy says, did you know that this couple's coming for lunch? I forgot all about it. And I says, well, we can still make it. It's only 11:15, honey. And Sandy says, I haven't got the goods. I haven't got the bread. I haven't got the meat. I haven't got the soup. I said, let's go. Let's go over to the store. We can do it. And I said, I move much faster than you do. I'll get most of the groceries. I'll go up and down the aisles and I'll get all. You just get one item, honey. And we'll meet at the cashier. We'll eat it, get home, have the couple over. And we actually ended up having a good lunch. But in the store, I went up and down the aisles very quickly, got to the cashier. One of my problems is impatience. And I waited 30 seconds at the front. I couldn't figure out where she's at. And so I figured, well, surely she's not in the same aisle. She can get one item. So I ran down to check this item. And finally I found her here. When I told her, I said, honey, when you go to get your item, don't talk to anybody because we're in a hurry. You know, sometimes every 5 years women talk a lot, you know. And I said, don't talk to even deacons, whatever, you know. And so I come down, and she's talking to a little short lady. So I walked up, and I said, hon. She said, hi. I says, hon, we got to go. The little short lady looks up at me, and she says, what's the hurry, big fella? And so I felt bad, and I realized that God was talking to me. And then Sandra just slayed me. She just humbled me. I went down to the ground almost. She said, honey, she can't reach the high cereal. I was helping getting her some cereal before I was getting what we needed. Anyhow, I had no words for that. I just kind of backed off. I said, honey, I'm sorry. I said, don't tell her I'm a pastor, please. And and so I got home and I had a lesson, learned a lesson that day. And then God continued to work on me. I was trying to pull out of a driveway a few days later, and I was going to turn left where I was tired to turn left, and I was looking more to the left than I was to the right. Next thing you know, a car from the right jams in, brakes, squeaks. And I looked up as that short lady, and she's waving her finger at me on the road. I thought, oh, I'll never win that lady to Christ. And then I go to the hospital for blood work 3 weeks later. And I'm sitting there waiting for the lady to come in the blood. And who comes in with a little white gown? The little short lady. She says, roll up your arm. Anyhow, God is humbling me. God can't reward a proud, impulsive, impatient, self attitude that I was trying to hurry me through to get into that lunch. But God is doing a reward for the patience of my wife, caring for my wife who is reaching to help someone. And there's a lot of people that need reaching. That's why I put that thing in the bulletin there. When I reach for you, my arm gets stronger. When I lift you, my arm gets stronger. When I weep for you, my eyes see clear to see compassion's holy bond. When I walk with you through the dark valleys, my feet learn the way of truth. When I lift you, I am lifted. So remember, folks, helping people at church, opening the doors, doing whatever you can for Jesus, but being humble about it, because that's bad. God will only reward the good. He won't reward the bad. In other words, you'll take away an opportunity you had to do good. So let me close with the GICs here. We appear before God. He appraises our time, our talents. He appraises our motives, why we do things. If I'm preaching this morning for me this morning, I get zero in heaven. If I sing for, I get zero. You've got to do it to the glory of God, right? Okay, but the last term is the awards. There are just hundreds of awards in the Bible. I mean, how would you like this award? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. From the words of Jesus himself, well done, you did a good job there, Mama. You did a good job there. You did a good job there. Well done. And he says, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. You're going to have a job for eternity. A big job, because you've been faithful here. And then he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. What a reward. I'm going to get a crown of righteousness like Paul got. Some of you are going through awful times of sickness and trials and in your life. Maybe you're born with, you're challenged physically and all those things. The day of judgment will be a day of being equalizing. You'll be rewarded. Paul put it this way. He said, I know that the things that I will get from God will be much more to compensate for the weaknesses I had on earth here. We know that's the truth. God will reward you if you are in this world trials. And so James says, blessed is he that endures the trials. When he is tried, he will receive the crown of life. Some of you are going to receive crowns of life that some of us who are more healthy ain't going to ever receive. And so remember in life, God's always watching you. And he's watching what's happening in your life. And he wants you to respond godly. And so the guaranteed investigate, do it all in love. And then the last one is, do it according to the word. And I want you to look at Matthew 5:19, just as we close. Maybe I want to underline 5:19. Matthew 5:19, Sermon on the Mount. I want you to zero in on just those words in Matthew 5:19. It says this, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others, he'll be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But hey, whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If you do the word of God, in what God is talking to you on, you will become great in the kingdom of heaven. Whether it's giving money, whether it's being pure, whether it's being committed to your vows in marriage or whatever it is, the Bible teaches something. Be one who hears the word and does it. James 1:22. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You do what this book says, and I'll be looking at the most decorated church in the whole wide world. If you do what God tells you, don't second guess the word of God. It says, do all things in love, do them in love. Don't let this selfie generation take you. Be other-minded. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. What do I like about myself? Well, I'm going to do something that is good for you because I'm to love you as myself. If I know I don't like getting ridiculed, I'm not going to ridicule you, you know. I'm going to live like Jesus and it'll go a long way. So the Bible is the Word of God. And it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, breathed out by God, through us. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, to instruct us in the way of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work. The Bible is the Word of God. In the Gideon Bible, I stayed in the hotel a couple weeks ago and opened the Gideon Bible, and there was a writing about the Bible. Let me share with you. Here it is. The Bible, this book, reveals the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are final. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and it contains comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass. It's the soldier's sword. It's the Christian's charter. And by it, heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. And Christ is its grand subject. And our good is designed, the glory of God its end. So let it fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. And the Word of God, you know, if you study it, it's wisdom. If you trust it, it's salvation. If you love it, it's character. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory. It's a river of pleasure. And this book is given to you in life. It'll be opened at the judgment. It will be remembered forever. And all those who labor in it will be greatly rewarded. But anybody who messes with this book or touches it, trifles with it, sacred contents, he's in trouble forever and ever and ever. Isn't that a good reading? It's good stuff. Let's go to the communion service at this time. Ask those who are coming forward. As they do that, why don't you stand with me just for a prayer, okay, as our elders come. Lord, it's good to be with the people of God here. We take you as our Father. You made us children of God. Father, thank you. Jesus, you saved us. Holy Spirit, you brought new life to us. And we love the book. It's our rule for faith and actions. And we love the people of God. Be with us now, Jesus, as we do this part to your glory and honor in your holy name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated, folks. Wow, you never get sick of coming to the Lord's table because you're coming to the man God, the God man Jesus who died for us. His body was put on the cross. Peter says, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree. We being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes were healed. Our body was never put on the tree for sins, but his body was. And God took all the sins, all of our sins, and put them on Jesus. And that killed Jesus Christ physically. But what really killed him was the spiritual death that he did for you and I. And he shed his blood. And his blood somehow just covered all sin. He's the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God shed his blood, Acts 20:28. He shed his blood for me. And for you, he died for us. So we come to a holy moment. And we're going to ask the first elder to pray for the bread as we look to the bread of life.
Our Father, I thank you that we can come here this morning and worship you and remember and to especially look into your word and Father, reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. You gave of your Son, you gave of your very self to take away our sins. Father, I just want to come here and be thankful before you and celebrate this sacrifice that you have made for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he's betrayed, took bread. When he supped, and he said, take, eat. He broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. This do to remember me. He said, I'm the living bread. I came down from heaven. And if any man will eat of this bread, he'll live forever. But he says, the bread that I give, it's not just bread. It's my life. So I give for the life of the world. So in this symbol, Jesus, we remember you. You're the Son of God. And let us never, ever forget that you died for our sins. You took our sins on your own body too. Shall we eat of this? Amen. Jesus took the cup when he supped, and he says, this cup is the new covenant, the New Testament, my blood. Just do as oft as you drink it to remember me. So we're going to ask another elder here to return thanks for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for Pastor Randy's message to us, God, your word through him. And we just really appreciate that this morning, Father. God, I thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to die for my sins, Father, to die for all of our sins. And God, I just pray that if there's anything in our hearts, God, that is holding us back from realizing that and acknowledging that, Father, that we would just give that to you this morning. You are a great God, and we thank you for your sacrifice for us. In your name.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I'm crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I live in flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me. Jesus shed his blood. By the shedding of blood, there's full forgiveness of sins. We're redeemed by his blood, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and his blood cleanses us from all of our sin. His blood will never lose the power. There's a covenant wrapped up in this. God died for us. We are forever, ever forgiven. And we're going to be in glory together forever and ever. Let's drink to Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for us. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't you stand together? And if you are close to the person next to you and you don't mind, put your arm on the shoulder, whatever, hold hands, and let's have the benediction here. Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ever ask or think, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore, to you, our God. Amen.